I got one more thing. Welcome to the Inspiro Podcast, a podcast exploring personal growth, leadership, strategy, communication, and fulfillment. We are your hosts, Jason Luchterfeld and Bill Woodburn. I'm here as a dentist, transitioning into a career to help facilitate individuals and their organizations towards a more fulfilling future.
Hi there, I'm Bill Woodburn, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist in Austin, Texas. I'm fascinated by the way people come together to solve problems, whether that's couples or families, dental practices or organizations. We're going to be exploring a lot of topics, and for us to be able to be free to do that, I have to let you know that this is not intended to be dental advice or counseling advice.
We're going to start off here with a little clip from a YouTube interview with Michael Caine.
And finally, I came across a line which I just wanted you to sort of explain to me. You said that if you did have one philosophy of life, it was use the difficulty.
Yes, use the difficulty.
What does that mean?
Well, I got it from, I was rehearsing a play when I was a very young actor, and I had to come in this scene. It was a stage play. I'm behind the flats waiting to open the door. There was an improvised scene between a husband and wife going on inside. And then they got carried away and they started throwing things. And he threw a chair and it lodged in the doorway. And I went to open the door and I just got my head round. And I said, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't get in." He said, "What do you mean? It's a chair there." He said to me, "Use the difficulty." I said, what do you mean? He said, "Well, if it's a comedy, fall over it. If it's a drama, pick it up and smash it." He said, "Use the difficulty." Now, I took that into my own life. You ask my children, they say, directly anything bad happens, they go, "You've got to use the difficulty. How can we work? What can we get out of this?" You know? Use the difficulty. And so there's never anything so bad that you cannot use that difficulty. If you can use it 0.25% to your advantage, you're ahead. You didn't let it get you down, you know?
Thanks, Jason.
Use the difficulty. I actually just heard this morning for the first time, and it just was the right thing in the right time and place. And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate this philosophy more than the idea that things happen for a reason. Bill and I have talked about that idea before, and I have pushed hard against it. And this, I think, is saying something similar, but in a way that resonates with me personally a lot more. And it is to, when bad stuff happens, because it's going to, find a way to use it rather than mulling over why it's such a terrible thing.
I also appreciate that it gives people another category besides catastrophe. Well, this could be a catastrophe, or it could be a difficulty. And now we've got a couple of different, like, this could be a catastrophe. Oh my gosh, an airliner landed on the office. It's all gone. That might be a catastrophe. But maybe this isn't that. Maybe this is a difficulty, and it's something we can just use.
Y'all ready for my long answer? I only have long answers. I'm not as pointed, so I have to kind of circle the runway a few times. I would fancy myself a bit of an expert in using the difficulty, based on some life experience that I've had. That, you know, I almost died during dental school, and that was not real easy. And it's not real easy to date with some chronic pain stuff, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I've really used this concept in my life. And I would say that there are also some pitfalls and some dangers to look out for. And there's also some practical, usable things that I could give dentists and dental teams and anybody that works in this kind of setting all day long. I challenge my team constantly when they say, "Hey, we got a problem." I go, "You mean we have an opportunity?" and it's a slight frame shift of, and it may just be a problem at the end of it, but I want to know, could we make this a win-win for both us and the patient, or us and the circumstance? Is it possible with a different perspective? But what I see people doing to leverage this idea sometimes is they want to make life rainbows and unicorns when it's not. And they're not facing reality. They're not facing the emotions they're actually feeling. And that's dangerous as well. So, you know, there's this idea of forced positivity that can be super dangerous, because you have to actually believe that life is happening for you, not to you. You have to actually believe that life has opportunities, not problems. You actually have to believe this in your core. If you just try to convince yourself that it's true, you're going to be conflicted and you're not going to actually deal with reality. You're not going to actually kind of get the benefit of what I think this means, which is use the difficulty means feel every ounce of the pain. And through that and understanding that, emerge on the other side of it bigger, better, different, more ready to face the world. So we're not avoidance. We're not saying this is really hard. Let me pretend it's better. No, I want to feel it, experience every ounce of what it has to give me. Let the lessons teach me as much as possible. And from that place, I want to then use the difficulty. But I've also done something on a neuro level that we talk about a lot, is when we're in crisis or there's fear and stress and anxiety, we're not operating the best part of our brain. So when I just experience it and feel the fear or feel the pain or feel the hard, and then I get all the way through the emotion, what emerges on the other side of that emotion for me is a prefrontal cortex brain that's ready to do creative things and solve big problems. And from that place, I can truly use the difficulty. But I don't know that you can just use the difficulty because you decide to. You have to actually experience the emotion or the obstacle a bit before you can actually get through the emotion. I don't think you just decide to skip the emotion, because that's going to keep you in a different part of your brain that's not as highly functioning and have all the good creative thought process. So that's my long-winded answer to get to nowhere as usual.
And I really appreciate that answer. I'm going to add to it, which is, if you're leading a team and you push too quickly toward positivity, what happens is people do not feel heard, and the pain they're experiencing seems to be like it's unimportant. I don't know Michael Caine, but I'm imagining if I'm one of his kids and my dog dies and he says, you know, use the difficulty. It's like, you don't give a crap about me.
Yeah.
So I think use the difficulty is also, like, timing is also important. It may be that we can't use that difficulty today because we're grieving a team member who died in a car accident. It's like, yeah, but we can reorganize and we can just, like, could you just give us a moment to grieve and to feel bad about this? And so timing. Yeah.
Bill, I feel like you just attacked me. Just kidding. Right. I really appreciate you guys bringing that to another level. And I think that it is context dependent how we approach that, how we use that. And I think there's a concept, Bill, you taught me at one of our first podcasts about validation and how important validating is, whether that's for ourselves or how we can actually validate somebody else's emotions that they're going through by acknowledging them, recognizing them, letting them have the space to have that emotion before we come in with use the difficulty. So I appreciate the like granularity you both brought to that concept. I think that adds a lot more value to it.
And there's a lot deeper to go in that concept of emotional granularity that's really cool and neuroscience driven, and where I come up with some of my I probably used to be more of a forced optimist than I am now, but I always try to get there, but I try to get there even if it's through the hard way. Like I get through the hard way to get to the optimism, because it's actually more core and central to who I know I am. And so the idea for me that life is happening for me, not to me. It's a reminder that I know on the other side of this, I can get to this, but I have a choice in that moment to take the long path around and avoid it and look for it, or I can plow through it and just let it be and experience all of it and emerge on the other end a lot faster. So it's a strategy as well that I've seen come up, because it takes a lot longer to avoid it and say, I'm not ready to label it. I'm not ready to feel it and experience it and deal with it. But you'll keep circling, and you'll never find the other end of it until you choose to face it. So if my choice is more often than not to choose it now, I find that I get there quicker and I can understand it better. And I've found times where I've probably plowed into it too soon, and I needed to marinate a little bit. And that's the part that I think has surprised me the most, is that there truly is some context dependency as well as some time and space that has to happen. And I didn't know it, but when you go into it and start feeling it, if it's too much, just know you're not stuck there. What if you gave yourself some space and said, you know what? I thought I was ready to go here. I'm not quite there yet. And pull back. Same thing with your team. We want to plow into moving forward past this. You know, I had a team member this week give me a 2-week notice. And there's grieving. There's stuff that's like, man, they need the time and space to be able to just be sad that their friend, the person that they love that's been with us for a long time, is moving on. They're moving on to something better and different. And I think that's great. But I can't be the arbiter of deciding when that is that we move on and we don't talk about it anymore, because that's dehumanizing. And it's almost kind of pushing how real that is to the side to say, we got more important things to do, more important than your feelings. Hmm. And that's not what I want to create in an organization. So I just know that as a leader, you're not always going to know that timing. You do have the ability to step into it a little bit, recognize the signs and symptoms, and say, you know what? I think this is too soon. Ultimately, I know this where we might need to end up, but let's pull back and just figure out how we want to celebrate, you know, this for, you know, a little while longer, or, you know, help create an exit strategy or a transition like that feels good for everyone, and not feel the need to just charge on, you know, like that's what a lot of leaders do. It's like, you know, because they see people a little bit down and sad and slow, they want to, you know, rally everybody together and hit the line and just pursue what? You only know where you're going. And so you got to use some really expert level tools to feel out what is happening socially in your group of people that you're leading, to know when the right timing is. And that can be challenging with a big group.
Ryan, thank you for joining us for our first guest on the Inspiro podcast. It's a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. I always learn a lot from you.
Y'all are the best. I enjoyed every minute of it and could do this more frequently. So I appreciate y'all having me on as well.
Well, what do you think? How can you use the difficulty? And how can you use that in how you lead your team or others? And finally, how did Ryan do? Give us some feedback. InspiroPodcast@gmail.com.